All right, I have some handouts. Stick one and pass it. Oh!
No, that's okay.
Wait, make sure you don't have mine. Well, I get to be last today, so I was glad. Woo! I gotta have some food before I speak. But before I go into my full lesson, I wanted to tell you a little bit about me, and I'm going to read it because that will keep me on track. And believe it or not, every day I stand in front of people and talk, most every day, but I feel nervous today, and that's so funny because you'll die when I tell you who I talk to. Every day I stand in front of college students at Joliet Junior College, and man, they're great. I'm never nervous in front of them. But today I feel nervous. I don't know why I feel nervous today. So if my voice is shaky, hopefully it'll calm down here in a second, and I'll get going. I'm married. I have 4 children. My oldest child is 12, and then I have that's a daughter, and then I have a son that's 10 and a son that's 8. And a little girl that's 5. My children did come here same ages? All right. My children did come here for a time for some preschool and some of their early elementary, and now they go to public school. They go to Woodview Elementary in the Valley View School District, and you know, we're just happy there, and they've made some new friends, and this is our second year there, or we're going on their third year, and so one of our friends is here. My friend Kristen, our sons were in the class together, and so, and our daughters might be in kindergarten, so we're happy about that. And my neighbor Ruby is across the street, and my kids play with all of her kids. And so I have boys and girls, and I was so glad to hear Pastor say that thing about men in the box, because one time I was just driving with one of my boys, you know, and they're 10 and 8, and we drove almost the whole way home, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, we haven't said a word. And so I said, Trey, are you okay back there? And he's like, yeah. Like, why are you asking me that? You know, the girls get in the minivan, and they never are quiet. The girls are like, so I got to remember this. And one time I even said to Lance, I'm like, Lance, is there anything you want to talk about? Because it was just him and I in the van. And I'm thinking, well, this will be nice mother and son time. You know, you can see there's a difference between men and women. He's like, no. Nothing I want to talk about. I'm like, okay. I don't know what to do. Okay. So, yeah, I like to think that helps me with sons as well. You know, they are kind of different. Although I think they also all have a box that's labeled food. Yes. And they're thinking about food.
It's more like spaghetti.
Not like spaghetti. Oh, yeah. All right. So I thought I would tell you my testimony, and I'm going to read it so I stay right on track, and I don't take up too much time, and we go ahead. Because I've been asked to speak about words and measuring our words today. But this is a little bit about me. You know, sometimes we think, oh, the person that's doing the speaking, they must just have it all together. Well, the Carrillo household does not have it all together, okay? I don't know if my neighbors heard me yelling, get in the van! You know, get in the van! We're going to be late! What are you doing? I know Ruby has heard me yell, get out of the street! There's a car coming! Oh, dear. Okay, so this is, you kind of wonder about people's past, but here we go. Today, my testimony must focus on God as my provider. I grew up in rural Indiana, Amish country. I have a twin brother and 2 younger brothers. My parents were saved when I was 4 years old. At the age of 6, my brother and I attended a Bible club that met once a week after school. We got off the bus and we would go. God provided a faithful woman who held this little Bible club every year in her home. She faithfully taught us Bible lessons, verses, and songs. One day, she taught about heaven and hell and that Jesus was the way to get to heaven. I was on that day that I repented of my sin and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I'm so glad that God hears the prayers of a child. He provided his son to be my Savior. In the years to come, there would be some hard, ugly trials that would come in the life of a little girl. My mother sustained a brain injury in a car accident. Although she was not expected to live, she made a good physical recovery. But she suffered from dementia, and her behavior was very abusive for many years. My family would flounder for many years trying to cope with this and just living and keeping the peace at home. As is often the case, we did not always tell what went on behind closed doors of our home. Still, God provided. He provided a faithful pastor and youth pastor who often seemed to know that something wasn't right. Although I did not have a normal mom to talk with, shop with, and do things with, often a church lady would take me under her wing, helping me with my sewing project for 4-H, or asking me how my school year was going, etc. God provided a faithful Christian woman who encouraged me to go to a Christian college. I remember that she said, my senior year, my mom's behavior was really, really, really bad. And I remember she said, don't worry about your mom, whatever she is doing. I don't care what you have to do. Get a bus, get a train, hitch a ride. Make sure you get to college. Don't just not go. Don't worry about what's going on at home. That was good advice, actually. God provided a faithful youth pastor's wife who helped me to reach out to others instead of looking at my own problems all of the time. Even still, God provides. My mother is in a fine nursing home facility now. My father lives alone after a stroke and heart surgery. God still provides. Some of the same Christian people who helped our family when my mom was in that car accident are the same ones that visit her today in the nursing home. God provides. Financial struggles were a part of my family's life. My father was the only wage earner. He was a tool and die maker, and his trade, it was usually feast or famine. Still, God provided. When I went to college, I had enough money for 1 month of school and my books. And my twin brother had the same. Still, God provided campus jobs. He provided summer jobs, sometimes more than one. I was a seamstress at a boat factory. I worked in an agriculture company. That's where I met my husband. I was a deli cook, a babysitter, a tutor, all those things. I graduated with a degree in English education and a small debt. God provided a wonderful husband who got a Master's of Divinity. God provided a teaching job at a local high school for me and a campus job for my husband. Then my husband said to me, I want you to get a master's too. How can we pay for both? I thought, because I was putting him through. Not to worry, God provided. In December of 2000, I walked across the stage at Clemson University, go Tiger football, with a master's degree and no debt. God provides. God provided a faithful counselor at that Christian college to help me over the past ugly abuse. God provides. Today I am a living testimony to what God can do with a little six-year-old. He has always provided a good church. He always has done that for me. He provided good parents who did the best they could. You know, parents aren't perfect. And sometimes they can't help. They just can't help, okay? And that can be a big source of bitterness to our heart if we hold our parents up to a standard. And then once you become a parent, you go, oh, whoa. Okay. He has given me a wonderful husband and children and a vehicle to drive and a place to live when really I just deserved guilt. And I was a sinner. Even when I was 6 years old, no, I hadn't murdered anybody, but I recognized I did bad things. And I asked Jesus to save me. Even today, my husband and I are at a point to see God provide daily needs and even some extras. What a blessing to pass this lesson down to my own children. I can only conclude with gratitude that my sweet Abba, that's what they call, that's what Hebrew children call their daddy, the Abba. My sweet Abba Papa has provided for every need. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. The God who provides. So that's kind of my testimony. I know some of you might have heard that before, and some of you that was probably brand new. All right, how do our words measure up? How do our words measure up? I love screen beans. And so that's why on this side you have all those crazy screen bean characters on there. My verse for today is Psalm 19:14. I learned this in college. Let the words of my mouth, and I didn't put the whole verse on here because we're focusing on words today, but the whole verse is, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. Psalm 19:14. It's an easy verse to memorize. If you put on your bathroom mirror, I promise you by the end of the week, you'll be remembering it. Let the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because that's really where the battle is It's in our mind, and then it comes out in our mouth. Now, I don't know about you, but my mouth likes to talk. It likes to blah, 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 and it gets out of control sometimes. And so I have to know what the word acceptable is. Acceptable, it means pleasant or bringing pleasure. And in this verse, it's not let my words be acceptable to me. It's let them be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Okay, God is watching and God is hearing everything we think, say, and do. So acceptable means pleasant or bringing pleasure. My strength, when I studied this, and I should put this on the board, there's a website that you can go to. It's called Bible Hub, www.biblehub.com. Do you use that? Yeah, H-U-B, all one word, lowercase. It is so neat. You know, if you have never been to a Sunday school class before or even church, but you remembered one thing like from your childhood, from going to church or something, you could look up that phrase in Bible Hub and it will tell you right where it came from. So you can look up like love is patient and it will tell you right where to find it and it will bring up the whole thing for you. All right, so that's the nice thing about the internet now, www.biblehub.com. You can look it up. Well, I looked up my strength, and it means my rock. My rock. You know, a rock is strong. I went on a trail hike once in North Carolina in the mountains, and we hiked to this beautiful waterfall. And you could stand out in the middle of the little river on this gigantic rock that was probably, it was as tall as that piano, and it was, you know, as wide as two of these tables. It was huge. You could stand on that rock and let the water, like, pour down on you. And that rock has been there for ages and ages and ages, and it's still there. And you're just standing there, and you're like, wow, I'm not even going to fall because I'm standing on this rock. Because a rock is strong. And so when God says this here, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, this is my rock, this is what I'm anchored onto, and my Redeemer. Who's the Redeemer? Becky talked about this already. Someone who delivers from sin, death, or danger. Someone who delivers from sin, death, or danger. Don't you like to hear rescue stories? I don't know about you, but I love to hear rescue stories. You know, whether it's a dog that rescues somebody or a person that dives in and rescues somebody out of drowning out of the water or someone that rushes into a burning building of a fireman putting their life on the line or something like that. Rescue stories, don't we all kind of cheer in our mind? Yay, they did it, they rescued. Well, that is what our Redeemer did for us. And Becky went over that already. And I will tell you that when I talked with the counselor in college, he said, you know what? I don't want you to stay in Victim Valley. I want you to get up on Victor Mountain. And ladies, I'm telling you, I put my house on Victor Mountain. I'm not coming down.
Right.
Okay. You don't have to keep remembering ugly things. But in and of yourself, you don't have the power to do it. It was by God's grace when he saved me. Now, and I will tell you this, it's a very hard thing. Most of the abuse that occurred in my life occurred after I got saved when I was 6. And some people will have a hard time with that. Like, well, why did that happen? You know what? God meant it for good. He saw that happening. He still protected me. I've been able to minister to people that I could never have ministered to before. I don't think about it every day. I don't even think about it every week. It doesn't even come by my path very often, okay? And so he is my Redeemer. He's delivered me from sin and death and danger and bad feelings and the guilt of my own sin. Except for the grace of God, any wicked person I could be, except for God's grace, all right? So I'm so thankful to God that he saved me when I was a little girl. He spared my life from many things that could have been really, really tragic. Okay, and so he is my Redeemer. He is my Abba Papa. That's what he is. He's my Abba Papa. Sometimes I pray that way to him privately when I pray at home because it's just a personal time with me and the Heavenly Father. So God is our rock, and since he can take away our sin and guilt and give us a home in heaven, Well, he can make our words so pleasant, because really, in and of myself, I don't have pleasant words always, all right? Well, there's four things here. First of all, to be loving. 1 Corinthians 13:7, this is the love chapter, and I'm going to try to get there quickly here. 1 Corinthians 13:7. These are loving words. Love is what? And this all talks about love in this chapter. And some of you are probably have heard that, or you've seen it like at the bookstore or something. Love is patient. Love is kind. And let me get my eyeballs on here. 13:7. Love. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is talking about love hopes the best. Now, naturally, I'm a very negative person. Okay, that's kind of how I am naturally. And so when Pastor Schlegel was saying when he made a mistake, it's ruined. That's sort of like, it's no good. You know, I'm kind of like that dark sometimes. But love, and this is talking about God's kind of love, it always believes the best about somebody and hopes the best. And so if you look on the back of your paper, there are 100 ways to praise a child, or anyone for that matter, right? Yep. And when I found this, because my original degree is English education, I was like, hey, this is alphabetical order. This is the kind of list I like, okay? Because I found some, and I was so jumbled up, I'm like, I can't remember all those, because it's all, you know, everywhere. One time an art teacher said to me, you are very symmetrical. Yeah, I got to have, like, even. She's like, that's not how art is. I'm like, okay. I'm not an art teacher. I'm English, right? No subject, verb, all that. All right, so 100 ways to praise a child. Well, I love the one that says, where if I can find it, you're so kissy. I think kissable, or, yeah, kissable. Yeah, and my kids, when I say that to them, they're like, oh, Mom, now they're getting old enough. I'm like, oh, you're so kissy, and I squeeze her cheeks. And I always call them little snuggies. And one time my daughter was at school, and I was coming to volunteer for something, and she said, Mom, don't say snuggies when you're in the cafeteria. I said, all right, I won't say snuggies in the cafeteria. All right, but we want our words to be hopeful. We want to emulate that for anyone we're talking to. In the summer when our children are kind of, you know, especially those last 2 weeks before school starts. I remember last year, I took them to the splash pad in Woodridge, and I said, go out there and run, and do not come over here. Do not come over here by me. Go out there. And I texted my mother-in-law. None of the mother-in-law jokes apply to my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is fantastic. Jeff's mom is great. Flora, Carrillo, or you can say Carrillo, either way. I texted her. I'm like, these kids are driving me crazy. And since she was Jeff's mother, I'm like, she obviously survived, you know, a lot with him. And so she texted me back and she said, just stick to it, Teresa. Don't give in. Make them do some chores. I'm like, yeah. We are going to do some chores after they run it out over here at the splash pad. All right, so I don't always, as a mom, want to see the very best and the good things. So those 100 ways, I'm going to put it on my refrigerator because it just gives me different ways I can say, hey, you're doing great. You're the best. Awesome job. All right, so we need to. Our words need to be loving. Our words need to be honest. Proverbs 12:22 says, Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. God, we make God's heart happy when we tell the truth. Sometimes it's hard to tell the truth. We want to shade it. We want to hide because we don't want to look bad. We want to exaggerate. But really, that makes God's heart sad. It makes God's heart happy when we tell the truth. We want to be a listener. James 1:19 says, and this is a common verse too. Sometimes you hear it on different radio ministries or whatever. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Quick to hear. Be interested in others' lives this summer. Be interested in others' lives. And I catch myself on this. It's easy to, I run into Melissa. Oh, Melissa, guess what's happened with me? Me, Melissa. Me, Melissa. I don't bother to ask her, like, how's your baby doing, Andrew? And
And how's Joanna and Michael? And how's your husband's work? And is he getting all the trees chopped down that are dead? And because her husband does arbor things. It's easy to be wrapped up in ourselves. And we're not very quick to hear, but we're quick to talk about us and our problems. And I remember the youth pastor's wife that helped me when I was a senior. Remember, my mom's behavior was really bad when I was a senior in high school. And I remember Marcia, that was my youth pastor's wife, she stopped me one Sunday and she said, you know, I'm going to go make a visit to a teenager that's struggling. I would like for you to come with me. I'll pick you up. Can you come with me? And I said, well, I think so, if it's okay with my mom and dad. She really turned my focus to looking outward instead of looking inward. She really helped me do that. And it was interesting. Then in college, when I got a little more counseling, the counselor said the same thing. I remember on I didn't have many, many sessions. I wasn't in like sessions for months and months and months, just like maybe three. And he said, you know what, I hope you go out today and I hope you be a blessing to somebody else, to your roommates, to people you meet on the sidewalk. You know, it went a long way into helping me get out of myself, to get out of myself. Lastly, be forgiving. Be forgiving. Colossians 3:13, I forgive you are three of the sweetest words in any language. I forgive you. Because you know what? When you say I forgive you, you know what you do with your tape measure? You put it away. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to measure and measure and measure. I forgive you. My life verse is Galatians 2:20, and it was in high school where this verse grabbed my attention because of that phrase that I have right there on your paper, and I'm going to read the whole verse to you. But this verse in high school, it grabbed my attention because of that phrase, who loved me and gave himself for me. That phrase caught me. I'm looking, General Electric Power Company. That's how I remember Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. General Electric Power Company. Okay. Galatians 2:20. Okay. And if my eyes were younger. All right. Okay. Here I am. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It was actually the three words, who loved me, that impacted my life so deeply in high school and made me want to go on. And I'm like, oh, all right, Lord, whatever you want me to do in my life, I'll do it. Okay, he had me be an English teacher. Now I teach reading. But those three words, who loved me? The Father, the King of Heaven, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, because he loved me. And that makes me happy. I still like to think of that phrase, God loves me. Who loved me? He loved me. He said it right there. I love you. And he gave himself for me. Remember, he's the Redeemer. He's the Redeemer. And so you be forgiving too. You be forgiving too. The only person that you hurt when you don't forgive is yourself. My husband often tells my kids, when you don't forgive, it's like you are holding a big knife, a big sharpest knife you could ever think of, and you're holding it in your hand, and you squeeze it, and you squeeze it, and you squeeze it. All you are doing is pushing the blade deeper and deeper and deeper into yourself. Okay, you're not really getting back at that other person. You're poisoning your life. And so be forgiving. God forgave you of everything that you did, and you can be forgiving too with his help. Okay, we have to have his help. Well, there are some warning times in my last few minutes here that we have to watch out for our words. Okay, no, all of us are human. I should have put on here Psalm 103. He remembers our frame. He knows that we are dust. That's in that Psalm 103. I forget the exact verse. And sometimes I have to go back to this. Lord, you know, just clean me up again. I messed up again. You know I'm dust. Okay, help me along here. Well, there are some warning times with our words. When we are crunched for time, and Melissa talked about this in her session, when I overbook my day, boy, then I am yelling, get in the van, get in the van, get over here. What are you doing? You are going to make us late. You are going to make me late. Okay. crunched for time when the schedule is overbooked. And sometimes we do have to step back and say, okay, now wait a minute. What can we realistically do as a family? This whole past winter, we operated on one vehicle. Our other minivan died last September in the middle of Boughton Road for all of you Bolingbrook people. Yeah. And it died, and it was dead for good. So it was gone. And so we operated on one vehicle, which wasn't too bad in the winter when nobody was playing sports and my husband was in between jobs for a little bit there. So that wasn't too bad. Well, then in March, Jeff got a different job and soccer started. I'm telling you, I finally in May, I'm like, we have to get something or I'm going to lose my mind. I could not even hardly keep track. I'm like, now what time am I supposed to leave to go get so-and-so and this and this? And then we split the shift so that he takes the kids to school in the morning. He works nights. And so then one morning I'm standing on the sidewalk. I mean, I am ready to jump in the minivan and drive to my work because I'm like, he's eating up all my driving time. Where is he? Okay. Crunched for time. That has an effect on my words. That's a warning time. Depression. That is a warning time. Full of self-pity. God isn't good. And the devil likes that. Okay? The devil likes to get in there and just be like, oh, God's not really good to you. Oh, did he? Woo? Okay, he uses those down times to get us to start questioning. That's what he did to Eve. Has God said you can't have that? Well, okay, he started getting her questioning. Down times. My grandmother passed away in November, and that was my only grandmother, and so it was a very sad time, and I had to be aware, all right, that this is a time when sometimes the devil, he kind of elbows himself in there, right? God's not very good to you, and aren't you so sad, and poor me. Okay, God, that can be a problem. Frustration. Yesterday, on that computer, I'm trying to save a quiz for my students, and it kept saying, "Burr." And I'm like, I'm doing everything right. And I'm like, I'm trying to push the save button. This red message kept coming up. Wrong date. I'm like, I have the right date. Okay. Frustration. You feel like you're pulling out your hair. Right? Potty training at my house was frustration. My husband does not like anything that comes out that end. Even if it's on a cute toddler. He does not. And I remember thinking, if we survive this, we can survive anything, because he was just like, he would have these, I mean, you see those jokes about gloves and stuff? He had like, spray, spray, spray. I'm like, this is a human baby. This is not an animal. Oh, I was so glad the last one was a girl, because she potty trained just like that. And so I'm like, thank you, Lord. Okay, well, frustration, you know. I'm like, why do you have, well, you are making a bigger mess almost, because you've got so much spray, you know. Sickness. Have you ever had a really bad day, and you were harsh with your children, or harsh with your spouse, or the other people at your house, and the next day, you know, you just came down with a horrible flu, and you're like, wow, I was getting sick, I didn't realize. Yeah, times of sickness, we have to kind of put the clamp right there. Okay, Lord, help me to just close my door. I'm not feeling well. Maybe I need to go to bed early tonight. Sometimes I tell my children, because I'm not a night person, sometimes I have to start telling them around 8. I'm like, you know what, Mommy's not going to deal with that right now, because Mommy can't deal with that, so it's time to go. Mommy's going to bed. You'll find me up in bed. Or sometimes they know when I say, you need to go get a book and get on your bed, because Mommy's just about done here. Hormonal times. I like that screen bean that's very pregnant. I think when I was pregnant, I should have just took a vow of silence, okay? I don't know. Those hormones did something to me. I hope menopause is better. I don't know. All right. But, yeah, sometimes some people can schedule their and know when it's coming, and some people don't. But if you are one that can kind of watch your calendar and know, like, okay, this is going to be a very big week for me, and I have this other physical thing going on here, okay, then you could ask the Lord for grace. Lord, give me extra grace. It is a big week this week. I have this extra physical thing going on. You know what? He knows. He created moms. Okay? He's not understanding. That's the devil when they're like, oh, God doesn't understand you. I should have looked this one up too. But in Isaiah, it says, he will gently lead those that are with young. He will gently lead them. Because our God is gracious. Finally, life changes. You might be at the stage where you have children who are graduating from high school. They're getting ready to go to college. Maybe they're graduating from college. They're going into career. Maybe they're getting ready to get married. Okay? And those can be big. Those are big events. But how is your mouth? Is it loving? Is it honest? Are you a listener? Are you being forgiving? Sometimes it's stressful on that adult child, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to make decisions, and they're trying to, and you're like, oh, okay, now why would you choose that? No, don't do that. Why would you pick that career? Ooh. Okay. Yeah, that's very hard. And I'm not at that stage yet. I'm so glad. I'm going to learn from all the rest of you that have to get there before I do. So life changes. But Lord, ladies, we want our words to be pleasant in front of the Lord. He knows, and he in fact knows our heart where our words actually start out. They don't actually start here, they start here, and then they come out. All right. So then, if we're having a problem, we can ask him to change our heart. And then that helps change our words. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I just want to close and let you all know that we've talked about a lot today. And there might be something that you want to talk with somebody one-on-one a little bit more. Tomorrow, Becky is going to be here when Neighborhood Bible Time starts. So if you want to drop your kids off and come in here, Becky will be here for talking or counseling or anything. If you just want to get a question answered or talk a little more one-on-one, Becky will be here tomorrow morning. And I will be here on Friday morning. So we'll be here for a while. Probably if nobody comes, we'll just pray or something. I don't know. We'll stay here, stick around for the first however many minutes, and then we'll be on our way to do whatever the Lord has for us on those days. But Becky will be here tomorrow morning, and I'll be here on Friday morning. And so I want to encourage you, if there's something you want to talk about in your life, if you want to know more about Jesus, maybe this was the first time you ever heard about Jesus, I will tell you, my husband came from a family that really did not go to church. And I remember when I met him, I was 19, and we were working together, and he said, when he found out I went to Christian college, he was kind of making fun at first, you know. And then he said, well, I got to ask you a serious question. I'm like, okay. And he said, is it hard to live the way you do? Is it hard to be a Christian? I was like, wow, that's a big question to answer. So I was able to talk with him that whole work shift. And then at the end, I said, well, you know, do you have a Bible? And he goes, of course I have a Bible. I'm like, well, some people don't. And he said, I have one. I got one for high school graduation. I'm like, oh, okay, well. So I gave him some verses to read, and I won't steal his thunder. The Lord used that, and eventually he asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior when he was 19.